CBSi on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Patrick Tucker, who's the technology editor of Defense One, the Halifax International Security Forum. I learned from Patrick's reporting that the European nations are now admitting they underinvested in defense. Patrick, the most recent version of this is, I believe, Germany has stated again by Olaf Scholz, the chancellor, that Germany will meet the 2%. I've also read that in other nations going forward. So is this a new day? Is this something that is surprising to the Pentagon? Because that's a lot of money that's coming to arms races.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people in Europe right now are taking a real look at whether or not they correctly calculated the risk of major war in Europe. And they're listening more and more to some folks that have been really outspoken and saying that maybe Europe's not adequately prepared. One of those is Admiral Rob Bauer, who leads the NATO Military Committee. He's a Navy admiral from the Netherlands. And he at Halifax said it's time to start going to a warlike economy in peacetime. What we're talking about there is I think this is a consensus that has taken hold in capitals of Europe and, of course, in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of months. The Ukrainian people, their military, are going to continue to need Western assistance for a long time, whether the war is doing good or whether the war is doing poorly, because Russia is going to continue to modernize against them. Russia is never going to stop holding them as an enemy. And if you allow Russia to win, that puts into play potentially Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, a whole number of different things that could be really nightmarish. So when he says it's time to start thinking about going to a warlike economy in peacetime, he's talking about the need to continue to support what NATO now calls, the Eastern Flank, which is – and that looks like, a lot more folks actually serving in those eastern countries. You have the U.S. Army 5th Corps that's going to be rotational out of Poland. You have larger NATO forces that are going to be rotational, but they'll be there often in Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, Poland. And this is important, too, because, of course, the U.S. wants to be spending a lot less on this front. The U.S. needs to sort of gear up for a potential conflict with China in order to deter that conflict, according to their thinking. So you're going to see probably continue to see high military budgets, first in Europe, but also in the United States. And that goes against what a lot of Western Europe leaders, particularly in Europe, were thinking for a long time. But you're also going to see a lot of recognition that relying on Russia for energy is also something that needs to be fixed, that it's long overdue to fix it. And that's part of this discussion as well. So it's really spending more on the military and also spending more on sustainable alternatives and other alternatives to Russian oil.
I learned from your reporting that at the Atlantic Council, an event recently, the Deputy Prime Minister of Ukraine for Digital Innovation, Mykhailo Fedorov, talked about digitalizing the workforce, but digitization as a defense mechanism.
The reason right now we're able to talk about what's going on in Ukraine with any amount of clarity or knowledge is because the people of Ukraine continue to produce content, continue to have communications with the outside world, and the Ukrainian government continues to function despite a ceaseless Russian onslaught, both in the cyber realm, which we haven't talked about much in this war, and of course the physical realm. They keep shooting missiles at the government buildings and the energy infrastructure. So how Ukraine did that is first they went to they learned a lot from 2014. They went to AWS, they went to Microsoft, they went to a lot of cloud providers to host government data on servers outside the country. That's really key. So they looking to a lot of Western companies in order to keep the government functioning by making sure that websites and transactions, banking transactions, your ability to talk to your government and do things, all of that, those services remain intact, even when the entire country is under unprecedented attack. So that's part of the digitization thing. They've put a lot more services online because they knew that they're going to be dealing with a population that many of which will be living in Poland for part of the time, living in other parts of Europe, or they'll be in Ukraine and will need to talk to the outside world. So there's through this DIAA initiative, There's a lot of government services. No matter where you are, you can access. And of course, they need people on the ground to document Russian war crimes, document theft, document things like this, and provide open source intelligence, which is having a huge tactical effect, too. They have a population that's motivated to be scouts, and they're producing open source intelligence that tells their story to the world, but also has combat relevance. It's really fascinating. And you can't do that if you can't keep the links up. So they're relying, of course, on Starlink, and but also other satellite communications to keep the internet up and running too. But a key part of this is that all of this also helps with government transparency. We have a new Congress coming in, Republican-led Congress. They're going to be leading and making, having a lot of questions about whether or not we should be giving as much money to Ukraine as we should be. All those questions are completely valid. But one of the things that I think you'll hear is this question of, can we trust them? Is Ukraine not this terribly corrupt place, as we've been told? And these digital initiatives help to leave a trail that is supposed to pacify and reassure the international lending community, the international coalition of allies around Ukraine, that they are correctly and appropriately spending every dollar that they get and using every weapon that they get in line with expectations. So this digitization really helps them make that argument when they have to go to Capitol Hill, because they will, to reassure some skeptical lawmakers, hey, you know, we're not in charge of your budget, but in terms of what you give us, we can tell you exactly how it was spent. And it's a huge change for them. And it's also going to help them kind of lead the way in digital transparency efforts in other parts of Europe, probably. That's something that they're also looking towards. They really want to be kind of a trailblazer in this digitization effort, because if you can put this together now, attract, for instance, businesses to seek a license to do business in Ukraine online, which is one of the things they're offering, it's very much like Estonia, then when peacetime emerges, you're going to be kind of an innovation powerhouse that's going to be a model for other European countries. And so they're looking beyond the war too, but it does have war relevance as well.
Patrick Tucker, technology editor, Defense One. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,